This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Did the reigning most valuable player in the National Football League,
the Rich Eisen Show,
have to drop some kids off at the pool?
That play's called pitchy pitchy woo woo.
No, it's cramping. I ain't putting a Paul Pierce.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204. Rich, if you're on hold, stay on hold. So, Chris Brockman.
Yes, sir.
If you look through 14 weeks in the National Football League, I know that there's still two games, but nobody in tonight's game is remotely close in the radar screen to be at the top five in this category. Mm-hmm. Leaders in receiving yards in the NFL through 14 weeks.
Oh, it's Travis Kelce.
No. Can I set it up?
Well, you asked me a question.
I'm saying I looked at it.
Oh, I thought you said
number five is DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, sorry.
Number four.
Tyreek Hill.
Yes. Number three. That's my bad. Number three is Stephon Diggs, who had a great night last night. Number two is DK Metcalf.
Yeah, that's true.
Number one's a tight end, Chris.
Oh. Travis Kelce.
No, stop it. Guys are idiots.
God, I didn't say anything.
I'm trying to give this man his due. He's also the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee from the Kansas City Chiefs. You're defending Super Bowl champs, fresh off the big win in Miami. He is Travis Kelce back here on the show. How are you, Travis?
Rich, fellas, always a pleasure to be on.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have
always
you.
I heard your nickname, Big Red, the Burgermeister. Man, I'll tell you what, that that might be as good as it gets right there.
he's
the Burgermeister.
Don't forget Crazy. He's a crazy Burgermeister, man. He is just, nice. It's all good crazy, though. Good crazy. I'm sitting here, you know, I've been fortunate to watch a lot of football, talk a lot of ball in my days. I just have not really seen a quarterback throw off his back foot from his own goal line and find his tight end one-on-one with some poor schnook who's attempting to cover you right around midfield. And I've never seen it before. What is it like to actually play in that, Travis? What is that like?
It's reaping the benefit of working your tail off, man. I think that's everybody on this team really is throughout the week. We just, you know, we hack away at the fundamentals and the scheme and trying to figure out a defense's or another team's schemes. And you know what, just going out there and players making plays, man. That's all I can really say is we got a lot of guys that can make plays downfield and all over the field at that. And you know what, just that was just one example of it.
And so do you remind your colleague Tyreek Hill that you have more receiving yards than him? Does that ever come up in a very awkward manner? Does that happen?
No, it's just awkward that everybody's been talking about that specifically. But I think Tyreek still doesn't get enough credit for the type of wide receiver he is. I mean, obviously, we both benefit off of each other's success. But more so, I mean, he's a big threat, right? I mean, deep balls, yes, he has the most in NFL history, I think, already. I think he passed Randy Moss a couple weeks ago in terms of, like, touchdowns, 40-plus yards deep. And, I mean, he's the deadliest weapon in the National Football League. You saw him take a little jet sweep and get a rushing touchdown yesterday. You just have to account for so many different ways that he can hurt you. That it kind of opens up and frees up guys like myself, DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, and Sammy Watkins, and then the backs are out there doing their thing as well. It's just it's a fun offense to play in.
But there is an eye.
But I still think Tyreek doesn't get the credit he deserves.
I know, but he there's still an eye in Travis. Between you and between you and he though, who's got the 99 rating in Madden? Talk to me. Which one? Who does?
Man, I guess Madden gave that to me. Love making me talk about myself.
Come on now, Travis.
It was pretty special.
Come on now.
Getting that though, I mean, going from a 73 to a 99 over the course of 7 years, man, it's definitely cool to have that as an accomplishment. Knowing that I'm still a kid when it comes to this game and being a fan of the game, so playing Madden is always in the repertoire.
All right, I'll pump you for the figurative Heisman then, Travis, and you could just talk about other things. That said, I, you know, I reached out to you when I saw this because there is no look. Everything we could talk about all your statistical accolades, including the first tight end to have five straight 1,000-yard seasons in the history of the NFL. But nothing gets bigger than the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, and you're a nominee for that. Congratulations. And I do want you to talk about what that means for you, Travis, please.
That is, I appreciate that. And it's definitely, it's something that that you can definitely have honor and pride about. Obviously, I'm not in the community thinking, oh, this will help me win the Walter Payton Man of the Year. No. I just go out and I try and influence, you know, the younger generation to you know, try and do better for themselves and give them advantages that they wouldn't have otherwise. And just giving kids a chance and the confidence to do what they want in life, I feel like is half the battle. And you know, this is definitely an award, and I'm greatly honored to represent the Kansas City Chiefs organization and the community of Kansas City in this regard, because you know, they the kingdom is there every single Sunday, every single game day, and throughout the week, you know, hyping us up and giving us all the love that we need to go out there and fight for them. And then on top of that, I just want to, you know, show them as much love and support as they give us.
Now, when you're talking about giving kids the, you know, support as well as confidence to do what they want to do, can you just walk me through a couple of things that you have been able to affect change like that in Kansas City and how people can get involved with what you're doing, Travis?
Yes, 87running.org is my foundation's website, and from there you can click away and figure out, you know, everything from there. But I've been able to team up, and this hasn't just been me, obviously. It's been, right, a team effort of myself, my foundation, even my teammates getting in the community and raising funds for Operation Breakthrough, which is a organization, a school that is here for the families that are kind of struggling and the kids that have a unfortunate situation at home. And what it does is it gives them the advantages that, you know, a strong school system and a community support system would give them, both educationally and outside of school at home, and in terms of keeping everybody healthy and giving them those kind of resources. And it's just been an absolute pleasure working with them and seeing these kids grow from kindergarten to eighth grade. 87 are running, helped build the robotics lab at the original school, and right now we're trying to extend the STEM system into high school, because right now the school system or the Operation Breakthrough is only kindergarten through eighth, and we just want to make sure that when the kids go to high school, they have somewhere to go. And this is definitely going to be that for them.
I mean, I could not be more proud to know you, man. Seriously, I'm getting choked up just to hear about that. Seriously, that's fact. And then, you know, I want you to talk on Wednesday's show. I've got Laurent Duvernay-Tardif calling in because he's one of the
My guy Larry.
Right.
Holy smokes, I haven't heard from Larry in forever, man. I got to give that guy a call.
Right, because he's one of the sports persons of the year for Sports Illustrated. And the reason why you haven't heard from him is because it's literally taken us 2 weeks to just even get a phone call from him, because he is truly on the front lines battling COVID. Because he's Dr. Tardif in his native Canada. And I'm wondering, you know, again, that's another thing to talk about. We could talk about the football aspect that he's not there, you know, to help with this season. But he's amazing, man. I mean, what should I know about him before?
He's a real-life hero, man. It, everything you read about him is exactly who he is. He cares about people. And to the extent of, you know, some of the things that he wanted to do in his football career got pushed back because of how much he thinks or how much he believes he can help people. And I mean, I love him for it, and more power to him. I can't wait to see him back in the office and rocking the Chiefs uniform and digging people out in the run game. But right now he's using the gentle giant hands he has to heal people. And it's a beautiful thing. That's for sure. I believe he's up in Montreal doing it all.
Yep, he is.
And yeah.
He is. Before I let you go, a couple items. First things first, your brother. We noticed that you've gone high and tight, Travis. Seems like you've just gone the actual cleanup. You've cleaned up. I mean, doesn't seem just high and tight with the hair, the facial hair and all that stuff. Your brother's gone in the exact opposite direction. And, And I'm wondering what you think. We've got a photograph of that up here right now, Travis.
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
Oh, yeah. No, I saw him walking in on game day. I saw the short video that the Eagles posted, man. And I'll tell you what, when Jason Kelce has got the mullet flowing and he's got the Timberlands on, something's about to go down. I mean, that is like, that's an action movie, him walking into the last scene of an action movie. Like, that's it right there. And you don't want to get in Jason Kelce's way when he has that look going. I've seen it one too many times.
Yeah, man. And look, and Hurts is starting, and they come up with a win, and he's got the mullet flowing. And
oh yeah, so my guy Zach Ertz got in the end. Hurts to Ertz, baby.
That's right.
Hurts to Ertz. Little ring to it.
That's right. And so you don't have that. I mean, you don't have that desire to go full flowing like that, or you know, you just
I'll tell you what, it just doesn't. It doesn't flow the same. It doesn't. Man. He's got that mane over there. That's just. I mean, I can't imitate it. You know, I just gotta. I gotta work with what I got, Rich. And that's the high and tight fade, man.
And the 99 rating and the most receiving yards out of everybody who catches balls in the National Football League in 2020, and Mahomes, and all of it going on right now. I do have to ask this question now, Travis. Okay, and this is a big setup. And seriously, you do realize what your career path is on right now. I mean, what you've done things people haven't done, and you've added the off-the-field stuff too, which is very crucial when you are putting your name in front of people for highest honors of all time. Do you think that at all, literally, at any point in time, that what career path you're on, Travis?
It's the only time I really think about it is when family brings it up, and to see how proud I make my mom and my dad and the people around me, you know, that's what it's really for. And I just go to work every single day, man. I enjoy coming into work with the guys in the building. And this journey has been unbelievable up to this point, but I still got a lot of motivation to make it even better than what it has been. And that's both on and off the field. So we're going to keep hacking away at it, Rich, but it's definitely been a blessing, and I'm extremely grateful for my situation so far.
You know, certainly, I mean, you know, you're an Ohio guy, and that's, you know, where it all winds up. I'm serious, man. This is and you got the quarterback signed, and you got the coach signed, and you got it all worked. Like, nobody's leaving. It's not like anybody's leaving. You've got this thing wired. They got the table wired, Travis, essentially.
It sure feels like this, man, especially when everybody's in this building has the motivation to keep, you know, getting better. It's just it's an awesome feeling, I'll tell you. And I'll let the road, you know, take care of itself. I'll just keep coming into work every single day.
And they got the Burgermeister. Is that what he do me a favor. I'm desperate to get a nickname to stick. Please help on that front. Okay. Start referring.
I mean, he treats us to a burger every Saturday night.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
He'll literally treat us to it after the team meeting the night before the games. He'll say, I'll treat you to a cheeseburger right after this.
And then the cheeseburgers arrive? Literally?
Oh yeah. The cheeseburgers are there. And sometimes they're grass fed. Sometimes we're West Coast and it's a little different, and, you know, but usually when we're around Kansas City, you get those big nights.
Oh,
you know, meaty burgers, man.
Okay.
They vary depending on where you are in the States and where you're playing.
Because Big Red,
the Burgermeister, man, he always has them for you.
Right. Big Red is so old school. Let's start calling. Please, go ahead. Call him Burgermeister. Let's see if it sticks. Let's do it.
I'll call it to his face and see how his reaction is. And then I'll let you know whether it's a no-go for me.
I'll take the hint. We'll see how it goes. Thanks for the call, Travis. Really appreciate it. You keep balling out. Congrats again on the Walter Payton nomination. That is just amazing. Just been great. And the one seed.
Thank you, brother.
And the one seed, too. Congrats on that and everything.
Hold on to that thing.
You got it. You take care of yourself, Travis. Thanks for the call.
All right, fellas.
You got it. That's Travis Kelce right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I thought the interview went very well despite the absolute stomping on the introduction.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with Whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with Large Gallery View, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
He's the one of the stars of Bob Hart's Abishola every single Monday night on CBS at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, including tonight. They're already in the midst of season two. One of our favorites. Love this guy, Billy Gardell, back here on the show. How are you, Billy?
Hello, sir, and happy Thanksgiving weekend belated. Hope you had a great one.
I did. I did, Billy. And, you know, when I say you're one of my favorites, it's not just because you and I have great chats when you come on the show. You know that, Billy, right? You know that, right? It's not just that.
No, I believe you, Rich.
No, I
believe you.
It's because...
And I feel the same, although...
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, it's because you're a man with a big heart, and it's not just because your show has got a heart in the title of the show, Billy. You're a man with a big heart who also is, you know, if I may say, a regular viewer of this show, and you keep up on what goes on in this program. Right, Billy?
Well, I do, Rich. And you know, what does it take to build a championship team, Rich? You got to count on the guy next to you. Am I right?
You are correct, Billy. You are correct.
You got to have accountability and know that those guys have your back no matter what, right?
That's right, Billy. That's what the Steelers don't just...
Well, imagine my disgust when a couple weeks ago on the show, Brockman and Michael got their hands on some Luminaldi's pizzas.
Yep.
And they didn't even say anything to you.
That's correct,
Billy.
Let
me tell you something. That needs to be called out in the open. My buddy Joey O'Connell, who I moved from Pittsburgh with 20 years ago in Los Angeles, we took whatever the car would hold and came to L.A. with $2,000 in our pockets for 1 month's rent.
Mm-hmm.
And we have shared everything from a gas station cheeseburger to a five-star meal at Mastro's. And I have never once not told that man what was going on in the food department. And he has never done that to me either. So the two of you need to look at yourselves. Because if you want to go the distance, you got to have your bosses back. That's all I'm going to say on that topic.
Yep, and you also didn't mention our social media grandmaster, T.J. Jefferson, involved in that, our call screener who you spoke to when you called in moments ago, Adam Chudwin, all of them, jackals. There's no other way to put it.
You know what?
Jackals.
You know what, Rich? I would be running two-a-days over there. I would keep those guys out of craft service for a little while until they learn their lessons. And just so you punks know, I sent Rich... A pack of six Luminaldis that are at his house, and I hope he doesn't share any of them with you. That's how I feel about it.
Is fact. As a matter of fact, Don put up the text that I screen grabbed and sent. I go to the door. There is a box of pizzas because Billy asked me for my address about a few days before. I sent him a text. Did you send pizzas? He wrote back. Let me read for the radio audience. Those are the pies those heathens should have shared with you. We will deal with those two properly when I come on the show next week. An LOL and then a heart emoji because, like I said, you're all about heart, and it's not just because the heart emoji is in your show title, Billy. That's what's called full circle, like a pizza.
As a nice filler when you can't get McConaughey on. You know what I mean?
You're just as handsome, Billy.
You know what?
I look like I ate Clark Gable is what I look like.
You know what you are, Billy? You're the deep dish version of McConaughey. That's what you are. That's what I'm saying.
I am the That's exactly right. I'm the deep dish McConaughey.
Yes, you are, Billy. Yes, you are.
And fantasy name.
And I greatly appreciate your friendship, your concern, your respect. Let's tighten it up there, boys.
Let's tighten it up a little bit, all right?
Thank you.
Let's look out for our quarterback.
Thank you. 10-0, William. 10-0. Your team is 10-0. And we're
10-0.
We're assuming 11-0 is right around the corner as well. How does that feel?
Well, let's
how
does hope. That feel, I kind of feel like Baltimore has become a little predictable this year, and I think people are kind of catching their number, and I hope they stay that way through this week because nothing. I got to tell you, watching 4-3-7 teams on Thanksgiving was very 2020. That was right on brand for 2020.
Yes.
And I'm really the beginning of the true Christmas season for me would be dashing Baltimore's hopes. So let's just rip the Band-Aid off and send them home for the holidays because that's what we know is going to happen.
But
that's inevitable.
You know, and I know, look, Big Ben was somewhat of a question mark coming into the season because of his injury and how he missed last year and his advancing age. But when I say how does it feel to be 10-0 on the version of 11-0, like this didn't even happen during the Steel Curtain era, Billy. This is like a first for you.
No, never.
Know what I mean?
They never got past. I think 8-0 was the right. furthest they'd ever gotten undefeated. This is tremendous. And, you know, it's one of those teams, though, that, you know, with the defense is the difference. The advent of the Ben coming back and having that cannon at full power, nobody knew that was going to happen. That was an incredible treat. The young receivers stepping up, Johnson and Claypool. This kid Claypool, I love him. We can't get him downfield enough as far as I'm concerned. But the defense, man, the defense and the special teams, Ray McLeod. And I got to tell you, since that trade we made for Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Oh, yeah.
Was the best in the world, because that part of the field is where we used to get scorched. I mean, Brady would tell us, he'd like, I love cover two, I love zone. And he would torch us in that area. And I believe Minkah has taken that away. And because he's taken that away, that pass rush has intensified. The Steelers have always lived on linebackers. And when your linebacking core is strong enough, you can kind of hide the holes in the secondary. And for a while, we didn't have all those engines in there. But now, man, these guys are on their horses and they're ready to go. Watt and Tuitt. And I even love the guys that are stepping up. Spillane, he's on the case. That's what I did. You saw
yes,
it.
Yes,
I did. And I just feel like we have a very special group right now. You know that feeling. When you watch your team long enough, you go, hold on, something's cooking. And I just, the only two teams I see, now the Steelers in the past, we've been notorious to playing down and losing a game we shouldn't have. But I think they're different this year that way. But the two teams that worry me a little bit the rest of the way is Buffalo, because I think they're heating up again. And I'm very wary of Indianapolis's defense. I think it's better than a lot of people give them credit for. And those are the two teams that might have a shot at ruining us running the table. But like I said, we're just worried about getting Baltimore and making sure we send them home miserable this week. That's all we're hoping for right now.
Billy Gardell here on the Rich Eisen Show, and we'll talk about Bob Hart's Abishola in a second. Again, season two continues tonight on CBS every Monday, as it does at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm looking at the schedule here. You got Indianapolis and Pittsburgh, though. So I know that we're not talking about fans and craziness and waving towels, but there is still that temperature and the confluence that is unique to your stadium. The Buffalo one, I don't blame you, man. I mean, that is going to be a great game. It's a Sunday nighter, the whole country. It's at Western New York. It's just up the road. It's just great. I love Josh Allen versus Big Ben. It's just going to be one of those Donnybrooks. But I do think there's a real shot at 16-0, man. I really do. And then the question about that lurks, essentially, is the one team that the football god schedulers did not see fit to put on a schedule, and that's Kansas City. You got to be genuinely concerned about that being down the road, I imagine, Billy.
Well, especially after watching Mahomes and Hill go off like they did. That's the thing with that team. You got to get up on them early,
mm-hmm.
and you got to keep on the gas as long as you can, because that's the kind of team where it's just all of a sudden it's a waterfall. You're up by 13, and then they score 24. Unanswered. So I think getting off on them early is the key. I think you got to give up some coverage to put a spy on Mahomes, but I don't know. I think the Raiders have played them a couple times tough this year. They seem to have a semblance of a defense for them, but the dangerous thing is at any minute, it's just raining touchdowns with that team. So, yeah, that team definitely worries me. And I'll tell you who else nobody wants to play is Tennessee. No one wants to see that truck of a man, Henry, running at them, especially if he gets up into the second level. Oh, my goodness. I just he reminds me so much of Jerome Bettis. You can just see the defense get deflated. When there's 5 minutes left on the field and he comes trotting out, you just know you're in for a five-minute beating before you might get the ball back.
Yeah, that's the
He's just devastating, and I think Tennessee is – I got to tell you, and that's another team, that the way you beat them is you got to get off early again. That's how we beat them. Because if you get off early, then right. Tannehill looks like he did when he played for the Dolphins. But if they're grinding, Man, that's a team I don't think anybody wants to see in the playoffs.
Yeah, that would be a rematch again of that game in which Tennessee came storming back, and you know, Big Ben watching Gostkowski miss at the end. It was just like, okay, we'll take that. I mean, didn't see that one coming. And,
yeah, but we'll take it, man. We'll take it and run out of here.
Because again, I love you, Billy Gardell. I'm going to give you your dream scenario. You ready for this dream scenario? Here's a dream scenario for you, Steeler.
Go, give me.
For you, Mr. Pittsburgh Steeler. For all the Steelers fans, AFC Championship game. You welcome Le'Veon Bell into your house. You beat him. Then you go to the Super Bowl and you see Antonio Brown in Tampa, where we all know Santonio Holmes once dotted the I for Big Ben, who didn't get the MVP that game. But you go to Tampa against Antonio Brown and you beat them, and Big Ben does get his Super Bowl MVP, and you hoist the Lombardi in 2020. How about that? That's your dream scenario right there, right? That's it.
I'm fine with all that. I love all that. And if the Patriots, you know, they're gonna miss the playoffs as well. So
but
that's just
Brady.
Extra joy for all at the holiday season.
But you beat Brady and Antonio Brown in the place where Santonio Holmes dotted the I. But even with all that, Ben didn't get the MVP. You do that, but you got to beat Le'Veon Bell first in your own house. Your thoughts?
And then I think that would be perfect. And then I hope NFL Films will hire me to narrate that. And instead of that deep sentimental voice, I'll just do it as a yinzer. And then we couldn't believe it. We got down into the end zone and we blew Brady out.
I would pay for that. I would pay for you to do a yinzer voice over a Steelers championship reel. I would totally buy that. America's game.
Them Steelers were coming in riding an undefeated season, and that ain't easy in that, you know?
What? Who came on and said that the old joke is how many Pittsburgh Steelers fans does it take to fix, like, what, a light bulb? Like, it's one to screw it in and three to talk about the great steel curtain days? Who told us that joke? Somebody told us that
That's
joke.
That's funny. I don't know.
It has to probably be a joke.
I forget somebody told us that joke.
It seems like he would be.
How many Steelers fans did it take to fix a light bulb? One to screw it in and three to talk about the great steel curtain days while they do it. That's the one that I heard recently. Oh, gosh. All right. So
I see nothing wrong with that. I do that when I'm at the grocery store.
Fantastic.
I remember a couple years ago, I was at the grocery store out here before Super Bowl, and it was the one where we were playing Seattle, and I was at the checkout, and there's a guy behind me in a Seattle shirt, and he had some balloons. He had some Seattle balloons he'd bought at the grocery store.
Yeah.
I turned around and said, you know what, you wait 4 hours, those will be on sale.
How'd that one go with that 12? How'd it go with that 12? Did it go right?
I'm not sure they get the East Coast humor out here.
No, they do not. But, hey, the good thing is, though, is, Billy, we can cut people off in traffic because we're East Coasters and everybody else is here laid back.
That's a give the way.
Get that.
That's
exactly.
All the way.
Everybody out here in L.A. lines up to get off in the same lane in an exit, and you could just go just right in front of it because that's the way we drive. Bob Hart's Abishola, sir, season two. This is a funny show with a good heart, and you're the perfect guy to make this thing work. You must be loving this. You must be loving it, Billy.
Rich, I'm beyond grateful. I mean, usually, you know, you get on a hit sitcom, that's a one-in-a-million shot, and then they give you another chance, and by episode four, you're canceled, and you're doing infomercials. So to be in the mix again, I am beyond grateful, and I think it's a sweet show. It has a sweet message, and of course it's written by Chuck Lorre, I mean, and Al Higgins, and so it's like working for the Yankees, man. I'm incredibly grateful, and it's been getting good reviews and good ratings, and God willing, we'll let this one run for 5 or 6 years as
so
well.
I'll give you the floor on what the message is for those who might be new to your show and why they should watch it. Billy, go for it.
Yeah, Bob Hart's Abishola. Bob is a guy, he's a Midwestern guy, owns a compression socks factory, and he has a heart attack from the stress of the business and taking care of his family, and he wakes up in the hospital, and he meets this nurse who is from Nigeria, and she is here as a hardworking immigrant in this country trying to make a better life for her son and her family, and the commonality that they share is they both take care of their families, and she has a lot of strength and stoicism, and Bob is a hard worker, but he knows how to have fun, and they kind of give each other what they don't have, and the message of this show is, if you're lucky enough to fall in love, doesn't matter what that person looks like, doesn't matter what size, shape, color, love wins the day. It's the most powerful weapon we have, and it's the last one we reach for. So I'm very proud of this show, man. I think if you give us a couple shots, you'll be hooked.
Now you're, and obviously many people have, Billy, but it's got a great message. I just wanted to give you the stage here, if you will, to deliver
that. Thank you, my man.
And thanks for the call. And most importantly, thanks for being a friend. You know, I don't mean it'll go all Golden Absolutely. Girls theme on you right here, but thanks for being a friend. And, you know, I feel that you're out there for me, Billy, even when I don't know that you're out there watching. And I appreciate the pizzas.
That's right.
I really do.
I'm not interested in the show just when I'm on it. I'm watching. You hear that, Brockman? You hear that, Michael?
I hear you. I'm
watching. Now, I'm listening.
Here's what I'm going to have to deal with when you hang up, Billy, is Brockman is, what he says, is an innocent bystander in all this. Right. The pizza acquisition was not his idea.
Oh,
it was not his idea. He was just there, but he didn't think it. No, like, TJ, you're the only one who said at some point, like, hey, what about Rich? Should we?
That was me.
Right. Yeah. And then for me to find out that it happened, and then I found out the excess amounts of pizza that were acquired because of how cheap they are, they got it to get a deal. They got 12 pies, for crying out loud.
Here's the
12,
thing.
A dozen.
They egged me on to get them. So it wasn't like it was my idea.
Mike, you started talking about it over the summer, though.
Billy, they're trying to just
throw
me
here's the
me
problem.
Under.
Here's the problem is that I want this to be
lesson
learned.
I see how they're turning. But hey, listen, right. Rich, I want you to know that I've written some letters,
yes.
And we're going to have a committee put together, and we're going to look into this, and we're going to get to the bottom of who's responsible for what, because, you know, if we let this go, who knows what this leads to in the future. We don't want to set a precedent.
Or how about this? Let's reverse engineer it, Billy. Let's have them come up with various foods that I like so much that they refuse to include me on, and then I find out on live television that I can get in copious amounts because people feel bad for me. So why don't you guys try and get some Primanti Brothers together? At Carlo's Bakery from Cake Boss for dessert. Talk about getting that and don't get it. I mean, and then we start getting it in copious amounts here. We can game the system.
Rich, I'm going to ask Billy if he's
Listen,
sending stuff from
the
Pittsburgh.
Word and I'll have some of that vinegar slaw sent right to the house.
could Billy send some original Oyster House fish sandwiches from stations from Market Square?
See,
now, you know the Oyster House. Now, see, you're starting. I'm starting to warm up to you again.
See? That's my favorite fish sandwich, Billy. If you could send some of those, that'd be great.
That's your best, right?
Talking this man.
Fish Fry Friday.
That was it.
You take care of yourself, Billy. Let's chat again soon, okay?
All right, listen, much love to all you
See
guys,
you,
and love to your families.
Same
Be
to you.
Safe in the holidays. Take it a day at a time, and we're going to get through all this, man. God bless you guys.
Same to you. That's Billy Gardeau.
Take care, Billy.
Great human, great actor, great person, great fan. Big fan. At Billy Gardeau on Twitter.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams.
And joining us right now is the CEO of one of the rare instances of a team being 5-6, still in the mix for a playoff spot, and potentially being more resilient than the team that went to the Super Bowl last year. What a season for the San Francisco 49ers, and a good friend of the program, the CEO of the team, Jed York, joining me here on the show. How are you, Jed?
I'm good, Rich. Thanks for having me, man.
You bet. So your team is currently, they flew to Arizona last night, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they are there right now, and they're there for 2 weeks, and interestingly enough, of your five games remaining, you play in that building three times. Two is the home team, and one is the away team, right? That's the
Well,
okay.
And we'll travel from Arizona to Dallas. So, I mean, our hope is that Santa Clara County lifts its restrictions, which they said was going to be December 21st. So we're hopeful that we can come home the week of Christmas. But, you know, obviously everything is going to remain in the air until we see where the number of COVID cases and hospitalization rates and things like that go.
Now, look, Jed, the situation could not be more sensitive. I understand that because every team in the National Football League wants to be part of the community and a good neighbor. And, you know, but you also want to be home. You've got a competition here, and you also have players who want to be home with families and home for, as you mentioned, the holidays, as opposed to going straight from Dallas back to Arizona to prepare to be the road team in that game. So how did this all come about? Can you walk me through how this talks with Santa Clara County
Well, I mean, the talk started obviously back in March, and working with the NFL protocols and things like that, and getting the county comfortable and up to speed with what the NFL and the 49ers were doing. And as cases started to rise, you know, we've had conversations with the county. You know, they wanted to put, you know, in sort of a soft bubble, so to speak, into place, and we've been talking to them for about a week about doing that. But they made the decision, obviously, with their announcement publicly as we were boarding our buses to go to L.A., that they were shutting down not just, you know, sports, but a lot of other businesses and a lot of other things. So we, you know, after working with them for a week, we're a little blindsided by that. But obviously, the health and safety of the community is the most important thing. And like anything in football, you know, you get thrown, you know, obstacles in your way, and we had to come up with an answer fairly quickly.
So when you say soft bubble, because my colleague Mike Garofolo of the NFL Media Group and NFL Network discussed it on air yesterday, that agents of players on your team were telling him that management of the 49ers had broached the idea of a soft bubble and that they were into it until Santa Clara County made its decision. What is that soft bubble idea that you were forwarding to the players?
I mean, there were a lot of things that were in place. I mean, essentially just keeping our players, you know, at the facility, at Levi's for games, and then being able to go to away games. And that was essentially all we were allowed to do. And not just players, I mean, me included, our coaches, our staff. And we were willing to do that, and the players were willing to do that to be able to stay with their families. You know, obviously, everybody is sacrificed. This isn't just the 49ers. It's not just us. Everybody is obviously sacrificed throughout this pandemic. But our guys were willing to do that to stay with their families. And unfortunately, that wasn't able to remain in place. And that's why, you know, thinking about the future, I'm hopeful that we're home by December 21st. And if not, we've been working with our players and the league and trying to figure out a safe way to be able to get players' families to them in Arizona, obviously, if we're not allowed to return home.
So a lot of moving parts, my word. So
yeah, there are.
So again, it could not be more sensitive, because you want to be home for Christmas, and your home is in Santa Clara County, and you said you were a little blindsided. So how do you have talks with a county that, it seems from what you're saying, let it be known to the world before, you know, reaching out to you, that you know how to find a new place to go? Jed,
I mean, honestly, like we can't take offense to it. There's more people in Santa Clara County than just the San Francisco 49ers. So obviously, the folks that are affected the most, the frontline workers, the nurses, the doctors, people that are dealing with this every day, like it's not just us. So obviously, whatever the county needs to decide to figure out what they think keeps everybody safe, we will abide by, and we have to deal with that. So, I mean, this isn't, I don't think that they tried to single out the 49ers and do something to harm the 49ers. I think they're trying to make the right decisions for the county. And unfortunately, as cases rise in Santa Clara County, we had to make adjustments, and I couldn't be more proud of our players for making those adjustments, or more thankful to Michael Bidwell and the Cardinals, and the entire state of Arizona for opening their arms and welcoming us. And, you know, thankfully they have NFL-ready facilities, and our home schedules match up well with the Cardinals, so we can actually make the most of it and go somewhere and hopefully finish out the season strong.
So, and on that front, was there any consideration given to staying closer to home for you, like the old Raider Stadium in Oakland, or maybe the home of the San Francisco Giants, or anything like that? Was any consideration given to that, Jed York?
So we talked to the mayors of both Oakland and San Francisco, and they were extremely helpful, but obviously it's not just their decision. You know, the county health officials are the ones that ultimately are making decisions right now, and it was very prohibitive for us to be able to do that, especially with having to travel outside of the county and come back, and with the quarantine that's in place. It wasn't going to work, and we certainly weren't going to skirt any of the guidelines. And, you know, you know, not abide by the county guidelines. If we came back into the county, you're supposed to quarantine in your house for 14 days, and that obviously wouldn't be feasible if we left. So knowing that this could go through December 21st and potentially longer, we needed to find another alternative. You know, the mayor of San Diego offered up a lot of help, which would have been fantastic. Unfortunately, there wasn't a stadium for us to be able to play in San Diego, and that's why Arizona ended up becoming the best option of, obviously, not the easiest situation to deal with.
49ers CEO Jed York joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, then. So do you think that your stay in Arizona, to use a phrase, I guess, you already did this in West Virginia in between weeks 2 and 3 between your Jets and Giants games. The Patriots are coming out here to Los Angeles, and I'm assuming going to stay out here as well. Do you think these situations, bubbling up, soft bubbles, however you want to put it, is something that could potentially be a test case for the NFL when the playoffs roll around for all NFL teams, Jed?
Well, I know in talking with Dr. Sills and the commissioner, I mean, they're looking at everything. Right now, I think our protocols are working fairly well. Obviously, there are some teams that have had COVID issues, but I think they've done a very good job of containing it within the teams. And, you know, that's a decision that I wouldn't make. I wouldn't be, you know, privy of making, but I think the league is going to look at anything that takes place. And whatever they feel like is going to keep our players as safe as possible and give us the best chance of, you know, finishing the season, getting through the playoffs, I'm sure anything and everything is on the table. I think Roger said that yesterday before the Steelers-Ravens game.
Right.
I think everything's on the table. And, you know, at least now, instead of, you know, hypothetically saying, does a bubble work and does this work, you know, you'll at least have a sense of this is what the 49ers are doing. Is there a place to do that? I know talking to Kevin Demoff before the game last week, you know, L.A. is fortunate enough to have multiple stadiums that play host to big events, whether it's the Rose Bowl, the Coliseum, obviously the beautiful stadium at SoFi. You know, I mean, he's talked about a potential soft bubble in L.A. as an alternative for the playoffs. So, I mean, I think there are a lot of options out there. And, you know, people that are much smarter than me and actually understand infectious disease and obviously the safety that comes with that, they'll be the ones making the decisions. And we just need to be prepared to execute whenever we're called on.
But, yeah, I mean, come on. You're smart, Jed. You went to Notre Dame. You know, but put it all
number
together.
Number 2 team in the country. I can't remember. How's your team doing?
Come on, Jed. You walked right into it.
I walked right into it, but I wanted to front. I just wanted to get it out of the way. You know, we're having a very
a real conversation.
We're having a real conversation, yeah. But there has been an elephant in the room the entire time. I just wanted to address it before moving on.
Proud of the Irish.
But the conversations amongst ownership, though, a week 18 and pushing playoffs and pushing the Super Bowl back. What are those conversations that you're willing to share that you've had that fans are wondering about as we're watching certain games being played on time despite roster problems for teams? You had one of them on a Thursday night a few weeks ago against Green Bay, and other games being pushed like the Thanksgiving game. So what has been discussed that you're willing to share with us here amongst ownership about moving things around for the playoffs and the end of the season?
I mean, I think they have flexibility. I don't know, you know, what all the flexibility is, but there certainly seems to be flexibility to be able to move things around if need be. And I know for us, you know, you referenced the Thursday night game against
yep.
Green Bay. We had a false positive with Kendrick Bourne and, you know, 2 or 3 close contacts with starters. You know, you lose another starting receiver, a left tackle, and it's easy to complain, but you know, those are the rules. It was set out very clearly from the beginning, and the NFL is going to do everything that they can to, number one, make sure that people are safe and that, you know, you're not transmitting COVID on the field. And to my knowledge, there hasn't been a single case of transmission on the field. And I know that we all have to be flexible. I'm hopeful that we are in a playoff conversation, and, you know, if they want to put us in a bubble anywhere, I'm sure our guys would sign up for it if they want to just erase the next 5 weeks of the season and give us a better opportunity to defend the NFC crown that we won last year. But, you know, we have no idea what's going to take place. And I know that the NFL and Dr. Sills and all the infectious disease people that they're talking to, they will have multiple options for us, and they'll put us in a position that it's going to be as safe as possible.
So how does that work? Like, everybody Zooms together and a decision gets made amongst the 32 members?
The Zooms are interesting.
Walk me through it.
When you have people that Zoom is probably not their technology of choice. It's fun to see who's on mute and who's not, and how they do it. And I mean, I won't name names, but when you have people calling out other people on Zoom and they think they're on mute, it's pretty entertaining.
No, come on, that's happened.
It's pretty entertaining.
You're seeing a member of the National Football League has talked about another member of the National Football League thinking they have muted on Zoom and they have not. Is that what you're saying to me right now?
I may be intimating that. That could be correct. It's funny. I wish that the Zooms were broadcast nationally.
Oh, my gosh.
They're fantastic.
So do I. All right. This is, out of all the news that we might be talking about right now, that to me is...
What does it rhyme with?
I'm not going to go there, but it's hard to communicate, you know, when you've got 32 teams and, you know, folks are on Zoom. Like, it's just not the easiest thing to do. And generally, we are a committee-driven league.
Yes.
So the committees, I think, are doing great work. That's a little bit easier to do on Zoom and to do sort of separately. But it's been challenging to bring everybody together like everybody else is dealing with. You know, it's hard to bring a large group of people. And in the NFL, when you have 32 owners and a commissioner and, you know, people that work at the league office, you have a lot of important people that want to have their voices heard. And it's challenging.
That's why I brought it up, Jed, is that because these are decisions that might have to be made in real time on the fly. Things are happening. I mean, as fans are watching week in and week out, COVID-19 list, this player's on it, that player's on it, this person's off it, that person's off it. This game's going to have to be played, even though a team like yours was without a left tackle. The starting quarterback was already hurt. I mean, it could have helped to have that game for you pushed two games, two days.
It could have,
you know?
But again, like, we have to make sure that health and safety is the most important thing. And, you know, again, our protocols are in place. Our guys know what the protocols are. And, you know, you just have to live with those consequences. And I don't know that it would have made a difference. Obviously, Green Bay is rocking and rolling right now. I hope that it would have made a difference, but I don't know. I hope we get an opportunity to play those guys again.
What's it like being the owner of? Because you're hearing so many other teams talk about scheme this, scheme that. You know, the scheme doesn't fit. And your coach is a master schemer. What's that like?
I mean,
for you?
We're very fortunate to have John and Kyle together.
Right.
Those guys are great. And you know, one of our beat reporters, Matt Maiocco, asked me earlier today about, you know, the coach and GM that we're going up against. And Coach McDermott and Brandon Bean, who we also interviewed when we hired Kyle and John. And those two guys are doing a heck of a job. You know, they're on the same page. Kyle and John are on the same page. And it speaks volumes. Like, I mean, you have no idea what your opponents are going to be throughout the season. You don't know if you're going to have a pandemic to deal with. You don't know if you're going to be, you know, forced to leave your home and go somewhere else for weeks or potentially 5 weeks at a time. You have no idea. And that's very, very hard, not to mention you have to play, you know, great teams on Sundays or Monday nights or whenever we're playing. And to have John and Kyle there together, knowing that they're on the same page, battling through all this stuff together, it definitely helps you sleep at night.
Well, I mean, and for you too, you know, you went through a period there where you were one and dunning, and not because that was your plan at all. But you've got this in place, and you're coming off of what you came off last year, and your team is at 5-6 still in this mix with a possibility to get some of your guys back. What is that like for you, Jed? Seriously, like to having gone through all that?
Especially in this season. You know, I mean, I go back to a conversation I had with the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, and I said, look, this isn't about, you know, financial results for us this year. Like, if it was about finance and the bottom line, I'd ask you to cancel the season because we would financially be better off not playing. But there's no possible way that the 49ers weren't going to do everything that we could to defend the NFC West championship, defend the NFC championship last year. And knowing that, you know, people look forward to Mondays. They look forward to Monday nights. They look forward to Thursdays and even sometimes Wednesday afternoons. You know, the NFL is such a big piece of our country. You know, 20% of Americans watch an NFL game on Sundays. You know, a third of the country watches the Super Bowl. Like, we wanted to make sure that we did everything that we could to play this season. And watching our guys go through all of this stuff, I mean, Raheem Mostert, I don't know if you saw his...
Oh, we talked about it. That was incredible.
Raheem summed it up. Like, you know, I mean, our guys, I realize that our players make more money than the average American, but they also work for maybe 4 to 5 years. And guys need to make decisions on what they want to do. And Raheem made the decision to step away from his family to try to keep them safe and go to work. You know, and if you can't respect that, and the same way that you have to respect the way a nurse leaves her family or his family to go in to help other people, like, there's a lot of people that are doing those things right now. And, you know, you just have to be proud of them, and you have to be proud to see a team come together under very, very adverse circumstances.
Jed, appreciate the time. So much so, I'm going to leave you with a suggestion, okay? Because I like making guests and guests who I appreciate better than when I found them, okay? I'm going to make you a suggestion here. Okay, Jed?
You can either go to graduate school in Michigan?
No.
I wasn't sure.
No. Actually, this is, you know, something I'm still going to suggest, making you better despite that swipe. you can take this and use it or not, but I imagine when you are in the home of the Arizona Cardinals, you as the home team will have control of the scoreboard and everything, right? This is your home team.
They've been awesome about all
okay,
that
great.
Stuff.
So right when the Bills come out, you put the Hail Mary up there and you're just blasted. Okay. Cause they're going to be a little spooked coming back in that building. You know, I know it's a new building for you as a home team, but you've been there before. Bills, yeah, the whole thing, the sound full of the call. You put Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins up there and just keep rolling it over and over again as they're on the field.
It may frighten us, too, because we've got to be there in 4 weeks to play those guys.
No, so. I know that, but it's 1 week at a time, league. You know that, Jed.
It
Come
is.
On, no?
It is.
Just survive in advance. Move on.
How fired up do you think Chris Berman is to watch the Niners and the Bills play this week?
I didn't even think of Boomer. I circled the wagons.
It was his Super Bowl pick for like 15 years straight.
That's right.
He was right most of the time.
And Boomer will be on at halftime of that game. I'm sure you've just given him – he probably had that idea anyway.
Oh, I'm sure.
Jed, thanks for the call. You take care.
I appreciate it, guys. Stay safe right and hope to you. See you in person soon.
You got it. That's Jed York, the CEO of the San Francisco 49ers.
Ananobi, catch and shoot.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.